Hi, Sarah. Meet my friend, Ben.
Hey, Ben. It's really nice to meet you.
You too, Sarah.
Oh, just a minute. I'll see who's there.
So, Ben, how long have you known Irma?
Oh, since we were children. We went to the same school.
Seriously? Oh, that's a long time.
Well, yes, almost half my life. We weren't always friends, though. We hated each other at school.
Really? So how long have you been friends?
We've only really been friends since we left school. What about you? How long have you known Irma?
Oh, I've known her for 3 years. We've worked on some films together.
Ah, how long have you both worked in film?
Oh, for a long time.
Wow. And are you an actress?
No, I'm not. I'm a film extra, but I really want to be an actress.
Really? How long have you wanted to be an actress?
Oh, only since I was about 6.
Okay, the first question is, how fast can you run? So, how fast can you run, Abdi?
Not very fast. Maybe about 15 kilometers per hour. I'm a slow runner.
Yeah, so am I. I hate running. Anyway, next question. I think our English teacher is a bit strange. Listen to this. How big would your ideal bedroom be?
Quite small, really. I don't spend much time in my bedroom, so maybe 15 square meters would be big enough for me.
Uh-huh. Well, mine would be a lot bigger than that. I'd like a TV and a sofa in it, too.
Really? You'd never go out.
Okay. Right, next. How tall were you when you were 10 years old?
10? I was really short. The shortest kid in my class. It was terrible. I was around 1.20 meters.
Really? You've grown a lot. I think I was around 1.60 meters. But who cares now anyway? Okay, question 4. How deep can you dive?
Dive? Not very deep. I get scared. I can only dive about 1.5 meters.
So can I. I can't swim very well either.
Neither can I. And I hate swimming underwater. I don't like getting water in my ears.
Neither do I. I had a problem with my ears, so I gave up swimming underwater. Anyway, number 5. How far have you traveled today?
That's easy. Only about 10 kilometers. From my flat to the school.
Me too. But I live nearer than you, so I'll put 5 kilometers. And finally, how old were your parents when you were born?
They were quite young. In their early 20s, I think. I was an accident.
Wow, so was I. My mom told me I was a complete surprise.
I tried to go shopping uptown on Saturday, but it was really difficult. It was too busy, and there weren't enough parking spaces. I couldn't find anywhere to leave my car.
Oh, I know. But there are always too many cars on Saturdays, aren't there? I work in the evenings, so I can do my shopping in the week. It's a lot easier.
Lucky you. It wasn't just because it was Saturday. You can't use half the roads at the moment because of the extensions they're building to the Colombo Mall. I managed to get to the shops yesterday, but the whole area feels like a building site. I don't know why they are adding more shops up there. The uptown malls are too big already.
Mm-hmm. Still, I'd prefer to go shopping in malls like Colombo or Amareras than the old town center. When I arrived in Lisbon 10 years ago, you could buy most things in the old town. But now, the smaller shops and even the good restaurants are all closing down, and it's empty at night. I don't really feel safe if I go there alone. Once the uptown malls are finished, you'll be able to buy anything you want there. And you won't have problems parking, because they're putting in a huge new multi-story car park, too.
I'm not so sure. I think the city council needs to protect and regenerate the old center. It's getting dangerous and dirty down there. What about older people or people without cars? They won't be able to go out in their own neighborhood soon.
Ah, I didn't think of that. I don't really go into the old center anymore, so I hadn't thought about the people who can't leave. I still think it'll be good to have more shops in the uptown malls, though.
I don't. We all go shopping too much already and spend too much money. And at the same time, some of the oldest parts of the city are being destroyed. I don't think more shops will be better for Lisbon.
Well, you could stop shopping completely, you know.
And get everything on the internet.
My name is Grace Rowley. I'm the Communication and Administration Officer for Fair Share. I've been here for 2.5 years, and my job involves managing the food offers from the companies we work with and making sure each Fair Share depot has enough food to feed their community members. The purpose of Fair Share is to address two issues. One is food poverty in the UK, and one is food waste. We do this by using surplus food from the industry to feed people with. Fair Share sends this food to 600 different community organisations around the UK, and on average 29,000 people per day benefit from a meal provided by Fair Share food. A typical day at Fair Share starts early in the morning with food being delivered in, so we might have fresh bread, fruit and vegetables coming in that day. Our depot manager will then call all of the projects who are receiving food that day, let them know what we have in, they'll let us know what they want, and then these lists will be passed to our volunteers who will pick each order, sort it out, and then it'll get put on the van and go out to the projects that day. We get our food from a wide variety of places. All of the major supermarkets and retailers work with us, and we get a lot of food from manufacturers as well, such as Nestle and Kraft. Sainsbury's are a big supporter of us, and as well we have relationships with smaller local producers to get a variety of food. Surplus food occurs for a variety of reasons, due to forecasting errors, so the weather changes and suddenly people don't want all the ice cream that they've ordered, packaging errors, barcoding errors, promotional stock that is, you know, the promotion's ended but there's still a lot of life left on it before it goes out of date, so any food like that we can use. One pallet of food can equal about 2,800 meals. The latest figures on food waste show that about 3 million tonnes were wasted last year. About 2.6 million tonnes of that were from the manufacturing industry. A very small proportion of that is suitable for eating. A lot of it might be contaminated, past its best before date. But from our point of view, just 1% of that would equate to about 70 million meals. So if we could harness just a small amount, then it makes a huge difference.
Welcome to TV Talk with your hosts, Robert Rudnick and Ann Powell.
I'm Rob Rudnick.
And I'm Ann Powell. Once again, here with you today on TV Talk.
Well, Ann, we've got another season jam-packed with new and old shows.
Yes, we do, Robert. Let's start off talking about a couple of shows that have been around for a while and are still going strong.
Mm-hmm. And what comes to mind first is that celebrity host Oprah Winfrey continues to be a viewer favorite among the daytime talk show hosts.
She really is.
You know, when Oprah interviews people on her show, she seems so genuine. I mean, she seems like a real person, Not phony like certain other celebrities who shall remain nameless.
You're so right, Robert.
I mean, it's her simple honesty. I think that's a missing ingredient in a lot of talk shows on TV these days. Plus, she's very passionate about the things she likes, and I think the viewer gets caught up in her passion.
You've really put your finger on it, Robert. No wonder she's the queen of daytime TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about soap operas, Robert?
We love our soap operas, don't we? We can't get enough of them.
You know, As the World Turns began in 1956, and it's still at the top of its field.
Wow.
One characteristic I look for when deciding if a soap opera is working is familiarity.
Right.
As the World Turns has some of the same characters and actors playing those parts since the very first show in 1956. 1956! It's amazing.
Long time.
The audience has grown up, so to speak, with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're friends. You can't just turn off your friends. And the storylines, they're familiar. Romance, intrigue, it's all there.
That's true. But you know, there are some different shows that have a bright future ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, my favorite sitcom, Ugly Betty. It's based on a Colombian show. The talented star, America Ferrera, won a Golden Globe Award after the first season for her role as Betty.
She's such a good actress.
She really is. I'm sure she's a major reason that the show is so popular. Ferrera's performance as Ugly Betty is full of heart.
Well, Robert, my favorite new show is quite different. It's called Cash Cab, and it's quite a clever game show. The whole show takes place in a moving taxi.
Really?
It works like this. A taxi picks up some people. The people think it's just a regular taxi. They get in, say where they want to go, and suddenly all these lights go on, music plays, and the game begins.
Wow.
The cab driver, who is a comedian and an actor, starts asking questions one after another. And of course, the more correct answers, the more money the people make.
You know, that's really a brilliant concept. It shows that if you have an original and creative idea for a show, people will definitely watch it.
And we certainly hope you'll watch us again on next week's TV Talk.
Good night, everybody.
All of us have had the feeling of happiness. But what is happiness exactly? Why are some people happier than others? How can you be happy? Well, recently psychologists have been studying these questions. Today I will try to answer some of these questions about happiness. First, I'll talk about a common myth about happiness and money. Then I'll tell you some important qualities in the personality of happy people. First, let's talk about a common myth about money and happiness. How many of you believe that if you have a lot of money, you'll be happy? Well, there is a common myth that if people have a lot of money, they will be very happy. But actually, this isn't true. One psychologist, Dr. David Myers, talked to hundreds of people. He asked these people questions about happiness. First, he found that if people are very poor, it is difficult for them to be happy. When people are very poor, they often don't have enough food to eat or a house to live in. They have to work hard and they worry a lot about the future. So, when people are very poor, it is difficult for them to be happy. So, in some way, in some sense, money and happiness do go together. However, Dr. Myers also found that when he talked to middle class and wealthy people, the wealthy people were not happier than the middle class people. In other words, people who have big houses, expensive cars, and fancy clothing are not really happier than people with small houses, simple cars, and regular clothing. Dr. Myers found that some wealthy people were happy, and some wealthy people were not happy, just like middle class people. So, this tells us that happy people don't need a lot of money. Happiness doesn't depend on money. There are other, more important things that make people happy.